This is our Vents Day segment now on the Jefferson Exchange. Your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. Our topics this week, net neutrality and Oregon's tax kicker. A couple of big ones there for you. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org to take part in Vents Day. No guests, 6 phone lines, an email box, and all the comments we can fit in the time allowed. So let's start with the national issue, net neutrality. That's the system that exists now. Everybody gets the same basic speed out there on the backbone of the web. In the system that some internet providers would like to see, you could go faster or at least deliver more data on the net if you paid more for it. The providers like the idea because companies that use a lot of bandwidth, like Facebook and Netflix, for example, would pay more. And the rest of us would get what? That's a big question, whether just folks would be relegated to a chuggier part of an unequal internet setup. President Obama says the internet should remain open like it is now. The FCC is thinking it over. So the question for you is, are you happy with the current system and like it as it is? Or would you like to see what amounts to a two-tiered internet, potentially faster, for more money? We're talking about net neutrality on Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Join us at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, by email jx@jeffnet.org. And now to the regional issue, Oregon's tax kicker law. It is the only law like it in the country, and it is based on a guess. An educated guess, to be sure, but a guess by the state economist. The economist guesses how much revenue will come in over the course of Oregon's 2-year budget cycle. And if revenue comes in more than 2% over that guess, hence the 2% kicker reference, the extra money is kicked back to taxpayers as checks or tax credits. Oregon's economy is improving fast enough that the kicker might kick before the end of this biennium, and the process could send perhaps $300 million back to taxpayers rather than being saved for a rainy day or spent on something. So, Oregonians want the money back in your bank account or saved for the next downturn. And Californians wish you had something like this? Let's get your thoughts on Oregon's tax kicker law. What do you think about either of these issues? What do you think about both of these issues? Join us on this Vents Day, 800-838-3760, anywhere around the region. That's 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Mark in Reading. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Well, first on the Oregon kicker, when I lived in Oregon, it didn't make any sense to me, and it still doesn't. I don't understand how anybody can figure out that just because there's 2% more than somebody guessed that everybody should get money back. It just seems silly to me. But that's it for that.
All right.
On net neutrality, it just seems like a way for giant corporations to have more control over whatever they want to have control over. It's certainly nothing in the consumer end that would be of any use.
Yeah, there's a lot of question about how this would stack up, but the concept that keeps getting discussed is fast lanes and slow lanes, or as one editorial puts it, Lexus lanes, like high occupancy vehicle lanes on the freeway.
Well, the thing to me is that, you know, it wouldn't be two-tiered, it would be multi-tiered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there'd be, you know, plenty of, you know, and as new technology comes along, it'd be faster and faster availability. You know, and the new technology is going to come along whether we have net neutrality or not. I understand that AT&T refuses to invest in things because they don't have preferential treatment. Well, for years, Alexander Graham Bell swore up and down that his company was a public utility and therefore, you know, wasn't really a monopoly at all, but a public utility,
mm-hmm.
and therefore didn't need any competition.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Mark, because that's what President Obama talked about recently that tended to reignite this whole thing. The FCC is thinking about it now because of some court decisions that have wrapped up. And President Obama's advice was to think about the Internet like a utility, something that should be there for everyone. So thanks for the thoughts, Mark. Good to talk to you. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics in the news. This week's topics are internet neutrality and whether it should be preserved as is, whether you're okay with a multi-tiered system. You get to go faster if you pay more, for example, or use more bandwidth anyway. Another topic is the Oregon tax kicker law, where if the Oregon tax projections are set at one level and the actual income comes in more than 2% above that, the excess gets kicked back to taxpayers in the form of checks or tax credits. rather than being held in a rainy day fund. Your thoughts on that? 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. A lot of opinions out there on net neutrality. This is something that has been talked about for several years. And Congress has dabbled in it. The courts have gotten into it as well. And now the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, talking about some sort of ruling on how to go on here. Lots of editorials out there, including this one from the SACB from last week, which says the current debate largely has revolved around a compromise that would toughen rules for Internet service providers but allow them to create fast and slow lanes on a case-by-case basis. This just creates a big industry loophole, says the Sacramento Bee. It's capitulation, not compromise. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. The Internet is too integral to our daily lives to allow profit-making companies to make crucial decisions about access. The industry claims it can be trusted. It cannot. We can wring our hands over regulation and how it may stifle innovation, but this is a crossroads. No choice is perfect, but consumers, not corporations, should come first. If regulation does start to erode innovation and creativity, we can deregulate. But if we start down the road of a two-tiered information highway, one a wide, smooth lane for the megacorporations and the other a narrow, crowded, potholed lane for the rest of the masses, we're going to have a very hard time backtracking if things go wrong. That from the Sacramento Bee. So one position on net neutrality, very much in the negative. Then there's another one I'll read you in just a moment from the Richmond Times-Dispatch in Virginia. And that editorial is headlined, Net Neutrality Beyond Dumb. And in fact, it says President Obama's case for net neutrality borders on idiotic. I'll get into the details of that in just a moment. I want to hear from you. This is Vent's Day for you to vent your spleen politely on net neutrality and Oregon's kicker law. Join us at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or jx@jeffnet.org. Seth in Central Point, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vent's Day.
Hi, thanks for having me. Love your show.
Thanks.
I had a feeling, too, about the net neutrality. I mean, to me, you know, I already have to decide, too, what subscriptions I want to keep just based on what's in our budget.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep those things, you know, like Netflix or any of the streaming services, if that was to increase, you know, that would mean dropping that off. So it seems like it might be a bad idea for those larger companies. I mean, to them, they might be saving money or making money. But they might end up losing a lot of customers like me who have to drop them off because of the increased subscription prices.
Got it. So if they had to raise their prices because they were getting charged more for their speed, their bandwidth, they would end up losing people like you, it sounds like.
Right. And, you know, I could understand, too, from a business point of them wanting to increase profits. But, you know, think back of what Netflix did even just a couple of years ago. They may have had a good model, you know, looking at it from a business point, but they really didn't consider their consumers, you know, what was going to benefit them or even, you know, showing some appreciation for those who have held on to them for so long. So
is this when Netflix talked about
more of that?
Is that when Netflix talked about splitting up its DVD and streaming divisions?
Right. You know, it seems like there's a lot more business decisions out there than there is about the consumer. You know, really that's what brings in the money. And I don't see a lot of that, and a lot of, you know, I know this is going to increase prices for you, but here's what we'd like to do for you in return. You know, it's just shows some appreciation for past services. I mean, there's no real appreciation that I see for you know, just the consumer in general and just being able to bring that in and keep that loyalty going.
Huh, often just moving off to the next thing, you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'd like to see at least a little more interaction with the consumer, you know, instead of increasing the price for an existing service, you know, let's innovate. Let's try to make a less expensive way to push more data through, you know, and try to move on to the next step instead of just charging more for something that's, you know, that's been used for years.
All right, Seth, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. This is the Jefferson Exchange. This is our Vent Stay segment, your chance to vent politely on a couple of topics in the news. This week's topics are Internet neutrality. That is, again, a hot topic. It's never really a particularly cold one, but it's something that Congress, for example, talks about a lot. The FCC, the White House, the courts, everybody gets a little piece of the net neutrality thing. Should the Internet stay as it is, where everybody gets to go pretty much the same speed? Or could you create a two-tiered Internet where if you pay more, you get higher speeds? What then does that do to those of us who don't feel like paying a whole lot more? That is one topic. Our other topic is Oregon's tax kicker law. If the projection made by the state economist is exceeded by more than 2%, the excess tax collections get distributed back to voters, either as checks or as tax credits. Join us on the exchange with your thoughts about either one or both of these. 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Here is, if the button will push, line six is always a tough one. Jamie in Medford, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
Hi.
As to the kicker, that's a non-starter issue with me because I'm on disability, so I'd rather not discuss that. However, about this two-tiered internet strange thing that they're trying to propose, let me be blunt about this. When I first heard this coming up as a topic for Vince Day, I immediately thought of something that might sound a little bit strange, but bear with me on it a little bit. It's like everybody who's white and not black gets the front of the bus, and everybody else who's black or doesn't look like us gets the back of it. Does that sound a little strong to you, Jeffrey?
Perhaps.
The two-tiered system, it's like it's just another way to marginalize people and that so that people that say, well, I guess I must be better than you because I can afford to have a faster stream of data on my computer system and you can't, so.
Mm-hmm. Just a wedge to drive people apart.
I'm so busy looking forward, I don't even see the people behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey, we're all on the same bus. Let's make the bus as best as it can and kind of keep it that way and stop trying to split up and differentiate.
All right, thanks for that, Jamie. Appreciate it. Let's go to Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. Net neutrality and Oregon's tax kicker law, our topics.
Thank God I'm not on line six.
That's right. I still have a hard time pushing that button. Don't know what it is.
Well, you know, first of all, the kicker was a political sop to the public during the property tax limitation days and the income tax limitation days and all of that when the McIntyres were running rampant and when the Council of 11 here was trying to recreate the state in an image to create their own personal playground, Gordon Parks and all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense to me that if we're going to do anything productive with the kicker, that we do put it into a rainy day fund. One of the nasty little secrets people don't usually discover about the kicker is that they've already been taxed on it once, and when they receive the kicker, because they were able to deduct their state income tax on their federal tax return, they have to pay income tax on it again. So that's one of the nasty little pieces on that. In terms of the internet, we already have a multi-tiered system. My professional work is all done on a T1 line, which is uber high speed. I have at home a high speed internet arrangement, and I pay extra for that through my cable provider. You already have a series of choices along those lines. Should it be regulated as a public utility? Maybe. That's probably not a bad idea. The problem with that, of course, is that the fox will wind up guarding the hen house, as it does in all other forms of government today where there's any money in it. So that's my thoughts on it.
All right. Appreciate that, Paul. Good to hear from you. And yes, it's a good thing you showed up on line two instead of line six. This is Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Your thoughts on net neutrality and Oregon's tax kicker law more than welcome. This is your chance to vent your spleen politely on either or both of those topics. Call us at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Couple things to point out here, one of which is that because of the reliance on the income tax, and granted there were downturns in state income in many states during the recession, even with different tax systems, but because the Oregon income tax reliance is so great that it is a pretty direct result that when you get a recession, the income drops at the very time that people seeking services from the state, relief, goes up. So there's already a bit of supply and demand conflict just with the system the way it works now. And then obviously when a projection is made that says Oregon's tax collections are going to be X and it ends up being X plus more than 2%, that's what triggers the kicker in Oregon. And that's what we're talking about here. And the Mail Tribune in Medford put an editorial out yesterday that says the kicker, if it happens, could amount to $300 million to $500 million. return to taxpayers, according to forecasters. It's short-sighted in the extreme for the state not to do what most fiscally responsible do, tuck some money away in the good times, knowing that at some point there will be harder times. The Mail Tribune continues, the taxpayers who get kicker checks aren't being paid back for extra taxes they pay. Their taxes have not increased one penny. The extra money exists because the economy is doing better, meaning more people are working and paying income taxes. Oregon's lopsided reliance on the income tax means the state budget soars and plunges like a roller coaster, depending on how many people are working. In tough times, there isn't enough money to maintain existing operations, such as school funding and state police, and in good times, there is more than enough. The Mail Tribune goes on, in 2007, the last time the kicker kicked, the state sent more than $1 billion back to taxpayers. That money would have made the ensuing recession years much easier to weather, but it went to taxpayers instead at an average of about $300 per person. Nice to see in your mailbox, but hardly a life-changing windfall. The Governor Kitzhaber has been working with business and labor groups on a major overhaul of the state's tax system. That's been talked about for years with nothing to show for it. And the odds are against a different outcome this time, especially with the governor weakened by a tough re-election campaign. The Mail Tribune concludes, tax reform is an especially hard sell when the economy is improving and revenues are on the upswing. All the more reason for lawmakers to show taxpayers they can budget with restraint and make a case for putting the tax system on a more sustainable path. That from the Mail Tribune, an editorial from yesterday. What are your thoughts? What's the logic or lack thereof as you see it in the system the way it's currently set up? Oregon has the only tax kicker law in the country where if the revenues exceed the projections, again, an educated guess by the state economist, by 2% or more, that's what triggers the kicker. Is it a logical system? I mean, we like getting the money back, sure, but does it help what we're trying to do together as a state government in Oregon? Join us on The Exchange at 800-838-3760. That's anywhere in our listening area. 800-838-3760 by email jx@jeffnet.org. Our other topic is net neutrality. Here's Shane and Ashland. Welcome to The Exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning. I have a quick comment on both. I think the kicker is kind of obviously it's one of those things that sounded good at the time because, you know, everybody likes to get money back and, it sounds great. And I think it was sold on the fact that it would keep, government from overspending, when they get these windfalls and then we're on the tab for in the short time they've spent that money. So then there's, kind of built up infrastructure or other things that you're having to maintain, or there's other things that you spend that money on that continue with costs. Mm-hmm. But on net neutrality, I guess my comment there is my understanding of it is that it's not so much the fast lane and slow lane for the consumer public. It worries me more as a business owner that businesses is really where it's at, is you're going to be the Amazons, the Netflix, the other people are going to be extremely fast and easy to use, not clunky, and, their websites will work amazingly. And the rest of us who have, are not paying for the fast lane, who have just standard business, practices, and everybody has a business online now if you have a brick-and-mortar business, and those will be the ones that your website will be clunkier, the people won't be able to access it at higher speeds. That's my understanding of what the actual...
That squares with my knowledge as well, Shane. Thanks, and I appreciate that. And so, yes, there is a discussion. It's not so much about what you get as a consumer, but, who gets to use it for business purposes that can get to go so much faster? What does that do to everybody else who doesn't want to pay the larger fees for moving large amounts of material around the web? Join us as we talk about net neutrality on The Exchange. Your comments are front and center. There is no guest. This is our Vents Day segment, so go ahead and vent. 800-838-3760 around the region or jx@jeffnet.org. Back to that editorial I mentioned from the Richmond Times-Dispatch in Virginia, which begins, even by his own standards, President Obama's case for net neutrality borders on idiotic. The president says internet service should be treated like a basic utility, which is defensible, but then he says bandwidth providers must treat all users exactly alike all the time, and that will make everyone better off. It won't, which is why utilities don't act that way, says the paper. As we skip down just a little bit, advocates of net neutrality, such as Netflix and other content merchants, have grossly misrepresented the debate. Bandwidth providers have nothing to gain by slowing down service to anybody. After all, net neutrality rules are not in place now. Is internet innovation being stifled? Are customers being denied service? Are cable companies censoring controversial content? Of course not. Net neutrality advocates are not warning about genuine threats. They're telling campfire ghost stories to scare the public. This again from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. It continues, bandwidth providers do, however, have a very good reason to charge higher rates to bandwidth hogs. Streaming movies and other huge video files slows down network connections for everybody. It's a premium service, and those who sell it should be allowed to charge a premium price. By the same token, companies such as Netflix should be able to avoid delivery interruptions, such as frequent buffering, by paying extra for faster connections. The digital revolution has worked wondrously so far, but handing over control of the Internet to government bureaucrats would bring progress to a screeching halt. It would expand the scope of federal power into new territory yet again. That's great for politicians and the special interests who have to grease their palms. It would be a disaster for everyone else. So a big vote against net neutrality as it is conceived now from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. What are your thoughts? Let's go to Dave in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. We're talking about net neutrality and Oregon's tax kicker. Hi, Dave.
Yes, hi. Good morning. Dave Gilmore from Grants Pass. I'd just like to offer on this tax kickback or rebates to citizens that pay taxes, that maybe what we ought to consider doing is sending that to the counties in which the taxpayers have paid taxes and allowing the counties maybe to fund some of those unfunded requirements like public safety and the jails that haven't been funded adequately to even keep their doors open. So just a thought on that is returning the money to the counties to use for their citizens across the entire county rather than each individual citizen.
So not directly back to the voters, but to the counties. And would it, in the way you envision this, would it go to the counties that are in greatest need, like including Josephine County, where you are?
You know, it could, but another thought would be based on per capita of taxpayers, it would be a distribution based on the number of taxpayers from the counties. And so it would not necessarily be a salami slice, but based on those taxpayers that paid taxes from the counties in which they paid them, they would receive the rebate in kind that would go to the county to fund some of those unfunded requirements that are really needed in the community and the county.
All right. Thanks for the thought on that, Dave. Appreciate it. So another way to divert the money from the kicker in the mind of Dave from Grants Pass. What are your thoughts? Other ways you'd like to see the kicker used? We had talked in some elections in years past in Oregon about diverting the money directly into a rainy day fund. There is something like that to happen with the former corporate kicker. That was changed a couple of elections ago. So what would have been the corporate kicker money, there's a corporate and a personal kicker, two separate categories. Corporate kicker money now goes into supporting schools. But there's no earmarking at this point for personal kicker money. And what do you think? Is there a better way to do this? 800-838-3760 around the region, Oregon's tax kicker. One of our topics on Vents Day. The other is net neutrality. 800-838-3760 or emails to jx@jeffnet.org. The Oregonian's editorial board, as so many other papers in Oregon, weighed in on the kicker idea last week, and the Oregonian says there has to be a better way to run a state. The motivations for the 35-year-old kicker are understandable. The economy is by nature cyclical, and Oregon is prone to particularly sharp economic swings. It's rational to look for a mechanism to keep legislators from making commitments during boom times that they can't afford in normal times, much less recessions. But in practice, the kicker law has required legislators to budget wearing blindfolds, especially this year. It's time to remove the blindfold, and there are three ways to do it. The first and best would be comprehensive tax reform. That task always was ambitious, and Governor John Kitzhaber's self-inflicted political wounds make it a near impossibility in the next session. The Oregonian continues, another way to stabilize state budgeting would be to repeal the personal kicker, or at least change the way it is applied. In 2012, voters changed the corporate kicker. Now corporate collections that exceed 2% of projects go toward education funding. Projections, I should say, go toward education funding. State economists currently expect corporate taxes to be high enough to produce $56.2 million for public schools. However, it is unlikely voters would sign off on elimination of the personal kicker, even if the money were diverted to a worthy cause. And that leaves the third option, building up adequate reserves, commonly and appropriately for Oregon, called a rainy day fund. The time is right to seriously discuss how to significantly build up those reserves, writes the Oregonian. So further discussion coming, probably, about Oregon's kicker law, whether or not the kick actually happens this year, and that has yet to be determined. The final projections, I think, will happen in May, at which point the state economists will say either, yes, we did exceed projections by 2% or more, therefore there will be a kicker, or no, we didn't get there. We will see between now and May of next year. Thanks for weighing in on the kicker and on net neutrality. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio.